members, welcome to the Government Operations Subcommittee. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Linda, would you please call the roll?
Chair Broder?
Here.
Vice Chair Ahern?
Here.
Representative Artillis?
Here.
Representative Campbell? Representative Cumbie?
Here.
Representative Cummings?
Here.
Representative Fresen?
Here.
Representative Fullwood? Representative O'Toole?
Here.
Representative Rangel?
Here.
Representative Rollerson? Representative Slossberg, Representative Workman.
Thank you, members. By your presence, please show that we have a quorum. I'd like to advise everybody to remember to silence your electronic devices, and if you would like to make any public comment today, please feel free to fill out one of our public comment forms and give them to staff so we know when to call you at that appropriate place in the bill. First up today, we will have CS for HB 1085 by Representative Eagle, Public Records and Natural Gas Storage Facilities. Representative Eagle, you are recognized at the podium.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee. Hope you had a wonderful Easter and Passover. Thanks for having me before you today. I'm pleased to present House Bill 1085, which is the companion bill to House Bill 1083, which has to do with Florida Natural Gas Storage Act. House Bill 1085, which I have before you today, is a public records exemption that would cover proprietary and trade secret information that may be submitted by applicants to the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Eagle. Are there any questions for the representative on this bill? Seeing none, public testimony, we have Timothy Riley with Spectra Energy. Information only, excellent. Any other members of the public wishing to speak to CS for House Bill 1085? Seeing none, is there any debate? Seeing none, you're recognized to wave close.
Wave close, thank
right
you.
Right on. Linda, please call the roll on CS for House Bill 1085.
Chair Broder?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ahern?
Yes.
Representative Artillis?
Yes.
Representative Campbell? Representative Cumbie?
Yes.
Representative Cummings?
Yes.
Representative Fresen?
Yes.
Representative Fullwood? Representative O'Toole?
Yes.
Representative Rangel?
Yes.
Representative Rollerson?
Yes.
Representative Slossberg? Representative Workman?
Thank you, members, and by your vote, please show CS for House Bill 1085 reported favorably. Congratulations. Next up, CS for House Bill 637 by Representative Tobiah, which will be presented by his aide today. Public records and public meetings, post-secondary education, and there is one amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to let you know Representative Tobiah regrets not being here today. He is tending to personal matters at the district. House Bill 637 would create a public records exemption to applicants for president, provost, or dean at state universities or state colleges. This also includes any public meetings which would contain information on these applicants. It does not include meetings establishing the qualifications for the position or compensation framework. And it also stipulates that the final group of applicants are to be the names of the applicants are to be released 10 days prior to the final decision. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Great, thank you. And there is an amendment. Please explain the amendment.
The amendment does three different things. It clarifies that public records exemptions apply only to personal identifying information. This addresses the concern that it may be overly broad. The second is that it relocates the open government sunset review language to its own subsection. And finally, upon the suggestions of Representative Saunders and Representative Zimmerman, we've increased the number of days of that the institution has to release the names of the final group to 21 days. That is the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Great, thank you. Are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, is there any public testimony on the amendment? Nope, any debate? Nope, recognized to close.
Great close, Mr. Chair.
All right, without objection, show that amendment adopted. We are now back on the bill. I believe you have already opened on the bill, so in its proper posture now, are there any questions on the full bill? Seeing none, or is there any public testimony on this bill? Seeing none, any debate? All right. Recognize the close.
Wave close, Mr.
Having closed, Linda, please call the roll on CS for House Bill 637.
Chair Broder?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ahern?
Yes.
Representative Artillis?
Yes.
Representative Campbell? Representative Cumbie?
Yes.
Representative Cummings?
Yes.
Representative Fresen?
Yes.
Representative Fullwood? Representative O'Toole?
Yes.
Representative Rangel?
Yes.
Representative Rollerson?
Yes.
Representative Slossberg? Representative Workman?
Members, by your vote, please show CS for House Bill 637 reported favorably. Thank you very much. All right. Now for the main event. Now we will have House Bill 1399 by Representative Rooney. And I understand there's a strike call. How would you like to deal with it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is a strike call. Basically, the strike call just allows our bill to conform with the Senate bill. There's some technical things in there, but that's pretty much what the strike call is.
All right. Well, let's. Are there any questions on the strike call? Public testimony? Debate? Without objection, show the strike call adopted. We are now back on the bill, so go ahead and present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill is in response to a 1999 law which basically dealt with local pensions. And in 1999, the legislature came up with a law that basically dictated to local governments how they were to use the premiums that were received, the tax premiums that were received on property insurance bills to go to added benefits for local police, fire, those types of things. So over the ensuing decade that we've had this law, we've recognized that there's been some challenges with it. This bill attempts to deal with those challenges, to make some of those cities that have had some problems dealing with these pensions to be able to not face bankruptcy and those types of things. So in a very quick nutshell, that's what this bill proposes to do, to try to get the cities and the unions on a path to stability and consistency with their pensions. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Great. Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Representative Rooney? All right. Seeing none, public testimony. We have Robert Suarez with the Florida Professional Firefighters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. The Florida Professional Firefighters have been working with your counterparts on the Senate side for quite some time on the local police and fire retirement plans. We have a lot of concerns with the current state of this bill, but we have a lot of confidence in not only Representative Rooney, but in his Senate sponsors to continue to work on those issues. There are quite a few concerns we had brought to both the House and the Senate with this last version that are being addressed here, and we look forward to working with Representative Rooney and the Senate to move this bill along. And we're definitely not happy about it, but we do agree that this bill moves in the direction of helping our plans remain sustainable, and we want to be a part of that, and we want to continue to be a part of this legislative process and making this bill better and making it a good piece of legislation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. David Murrell with the Florida PBA, Police Benevolent Association.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Good afternoon. I'm David Murrell. I represent the Florida PBA. I echo what my brother, Bobby Suarez, just said, that we do have concerns with this bill. We're opposed to it at this time, but we know that it's a work in progress, and we hope that there will be progress. I'd like to make three simple points. One is that we are honored that legislators, past and present, honor police officers and firefighters, and they think highly of them, and have tried to give them a decent retirement. And for that, we thank you, and we hope this will continue. Number two, the legislation should not reward bad behavior from cities. We don't think that there should be a bailout for cities that have been very irresponsible and they've been bad actors. Number three, I think cities that have been responsible should be rewarded. And the officers in these plans should be rewarded, and that they should have a decent retirement. So I'm hoping when everything is all said and done that you'll incorporate these three principles in the final legislation. We will continue to work with Representative Rooney, his counterpart, who's in the audience with us here on the Senate side, Senator Ring, and hopefully at the end of the day, we'll come out with something that will strengthen the plans and help the officers have the much-deserved retirement. So with that in mind, I close, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Next up, we'll have Craig Kahn from the Florida League of Cities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Craig Kahn with the Florida League of City Committee members. Representative Rooney, thank you for sponsoring this bill. We haven't had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with you, but we look forward to that. We have spent an incredible amount of time with Senator Ring, who's also in the audience on this matter. Back in February of this year, I stood before this committee and presented you all with some information relative to our police and fire plans. The funding of our plans has been an issue for a number of years. We've recognized that since 2010, and we've come to the legislature every year since then asking for more flexibility in how we can address the funding issues with our police and fire plans. This bill before you is fairly narrow in scope. It addresses the use of insurance premium tax revenues. It also has a couple other little tweaks here and there, but that's the main thrust of this bill. Obviously, I wouldn't be standing before you if the League didn't have some concerns with the bill. Our concerns aren't necessarily the concerns of the PBA and the firefighters, as you may well presume. The League came before you and has asked the legislature for more flexibility in how we collectively bargain with our local police and fire, and that's what we're still asking for. This bill moves us in the right direction. I will tell you, this bill is not a bailout. This bill is not a handout. This bill doesn't address good and bad actors. For the last 13 years, since 1999, cities have had to operate under a law that this legislature passed that directed how insurance premium tax revenues are funded. I stood before you a month ago and said that law has required cities to spend over $500 million in insurance premium tax revenues on new pension benefits for police and fire since 1999. We can't sustain that. We're not here asking you to reduce one pension benefit. We're here asking you for flexibility in how cities have to provide for and pay for the pension benefits that they're on the hook to pay for. We have some flexibility since over the last 6 months, the Department of Management Services has reinterpreted the current law. For 13 years, there was an interpretation of this law without any changes by you, the legislature, on how it was to be implemented. Those changes were signified in what's called the Naples letter, the City of Naples letter. That letter has provided significant flexibility to cities in how they negotiate their police and fire pension benefits and how we enter into our collective bargaining process. This bill is very significant because it takes away the statutory basis for the Naples letter. That's very, very important to the League of Cities because, as you can well imagine, under the current state of the law, the law that is currently in place for the state of Florida provides wide flexibility to cities in how we can negotiate with our police and fire unions. We like that flexibility. We want to be able to go to the collective bargaining table and have a good dialogue without having the finger of the legislature down on cities and how we are to provide these benefits. And that's what has happened pre-Naples letter 13 years prior, back to 1999. So some of the issues that the League of Cities currently has with the bill. As I stated, this bill does remove the statutory basis for the Naples letter. I have a number of cities. I have a list. It's not hundreds of cities. It's less than 20 cities that currently have a letter from the Department of Management Services and how they implement or how they can go about and negotiate changes for their current police and fire plans. The bill contains a grandfather provision that tries to recognize the current DMS letters and the fact that some of these cities are still in the negotiating process. They don't have signed collective bargaining agreements. We are in the process, and we want to protect those cities. That's one issue. That's a first and foremost issue that we want to see addressed in this legislation. That is, protect those cities that are currently acting in reliance on the department's current interpretation of the law. We have some other concerns with the bill. One of them is a required contribution that cities have to make relating to savings that are incurred when we begin to reduce benefits. That is not the first issue that we have with this bill. The first issue is the grandfather, first and foremost. There are a couple of other changes that need to be made to the bill because there was a pretty substantial change made over in the Senate. It has not yet been adopted, but it hopefully will be in the Senate committee on Wednesday, and that is the level of benefits that we're required to provide. If that change is made, as Representative Rooney has made in this bill, we need to have a little bit more clarification as to how insurance premium tax revenues must be funded for what level of benefits. I'm not going to drill down into all the detail. So where's the League of Cities today? We would encourage the committee to pass the bill. We want to continue the dialogue. It's gotten to the point now where it's pretty serious negotiations. We are not currently in support of the bill, but we think we can get there, hopefully over the next few weeks. Again, I want to reemphasize that, this bill is not a bailout. Not once would I consider any city that's given any pension benefit to be a bad apple or a good apple. Sure, all of these pension benefits that we've had to give have had to, a vote had to have been taken by our city commissions, but those city commissions were operating under an umbrella of state law that required them to use insurance premium tax revenues to provide additional pension benefits. And with that, we did give extra benefits to comply with the law. Mr. Chairman, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions if anyone has any.
I think we're all right. Representative Artillis for a question.
Thank you, Chairman. You said that there's 20 cities that are, that have issues. How many cities are funded less than 80%?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Artillis, there are currently about 20 cities that have asked the Department of Management Services for a specific interpretation under the Naples letter. The way that the Division of Retirement doesn't have any rulemaking authority for this particular chapter of law, and therefore a city would have to request its own letter or its own guidance under its own particular facts. But the direct answer to your question is, of the 500 local government pension plans, and there are about, most of those are city pension plans, it's police, fire, and general, over 300 of those plans have a funding level that's less than 80%. And most of those plans, the majority, are police and fire pension plans.
Any other questions? Representative Workman for a question.
I appreciate your testimony today. Dig a little deeper for me. Your testimony, maybe it was because you were focusing in on this one issue, you really made it sound like the reason over 300 cities, police and fire pensions are less than 80% funded are because of that one tweak we did the law 10 years ago. Are you inferring or are you directly stating that the reason so many cities and counties are having trouble with their pensions is because only because of those items in the law?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Representative Workman, just to be clear, this issue relates only to city pension plans except for one county, Jacksonville. The rest of the counties are in the Florida retirement system for their special risk. The 1999 law categorically is not the sole reason that 300 of 500 cities have a funding level of less than 80%. However, I will tell you that under the structure that cities have had to operate in since 1999, in the very rigorous standards that the Department of Management Services applied and the level of benefits that cities had to provide, and there was no opportunity to decrease pension benefit levels to react to economic circumstances that you would think we would have reacted to in 2007 and 2008. We didn't have that flexibility. We had to continue to provide the level of benefits in order to receive insurance premium taxes, and as more insurance premium taxes came in, we could only go up in the level of benefits that we provided. So the structure, structurally, yes, the legislature did provide a structure in which we had our hands tied to decrease benefit levels. We could decrease benefit levels if we wanted to. The sacrifice is you give up all your insurance premium tax revenues. It became a business decision. Every three-year cycle for a collective bargaining agreement, city administration would have to sit down and figure out if it makes more sense on a business for a business parameters to continue to receive premium taxes. So the level of premium taxes in and of themselves, the $130 million that was generated last year, we had to contribute about $1 billion in pension towards our pensions last year. So it is not the driving financial source. That's not the primary issue. It was more the structure that we had to operate under and the benefit levels that we provided.
Representative Cumby for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris, do you happen to know prior to 1999 how many of those 500 subdivisions were at 80% or better?
Craig, you were recognized to respond.
Representative Cumby, I do not. I apologize. I would assume that we, if you go back and look at the trends from 2007, I'm not saying that all of the issues with the funding levels were created with the economic downturn of 2007-2008, but I will say you can see what the effect it had on the Florida retirement system. It dropped the value of that plan by over 20%, I think, somewhere around there, 15-20%. So you can just imagine what that did to the funding level, the value of those assets that make up the trust of those pension funds. And so, I would say over the last 5 years, it's been a significant impact as far as the economic circumstances.
Any other questions by members?
Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Kahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next up, Letitia Adams with the Florida Chamber.
Thank you.
You're recognized.
Very briefly, the Florida Chamber has been a strong advocate of now.
There we go.
Florida Chamber has been a strong advocate of reforming our pension programs. These are programs funded by taxpayer dollars that if we do not make sure that they remain fiscally sustainable and actuarially sound, the taxpayers will be on the hook for these benefits. We strongly support this bill. As Mr. Kahn said, this does not release the cities from their current obligations. This does help move them in a direction in which they can start to fill those actuarial holes so that the taxpayers are not on the hook for that debt. And we believe that moving in a more progressive manner about how the premium tax dollars should be spent should definitely be addressed, and we support this bill.
Thank you. Ken Hatcher with the FOP. Waves in opposition. Thank you. Stephen Camacho with the FOP. Waves in opposition. Matthew Williams, Fraternal Order of Police, Clay County Lodge. Stands in opposition as well. Is there anybody else wishing to speak to House Bill 1399? Seeing none, we move into debate. Members, is there any debate regarding House Bill 1399? Seeing no debate, Representative Rooney, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. I will say, as you heard from the testimony, we've got our work cut out for us. We're not trying to repeal the 99 law. We're trying to rework it to make it more functional for both the cities and the unions to be able to again, have a path towards stability with these pensions. I want to thank Senator Ring for being here and his staff for working so hard on this, as well as our House staff. We've got a challenge in front of us. I'd appreciate your vote, even if you're inclined not to vote for this bill at this time. I think it's a bill that we need to look at, and as it moves through the committees, I think we can do what we need to do. Maybe not everybody's going to be singing Kumbaya, but we'll try and get as many as we can. I'll get maybe Chair Caldwell to work on this with us. But with that, I'll close, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Rooney. Having closed, Linda, please call the roll on House Bill 1399.
Chair Broder?
Yes.
Representative Ahern?
Yes.
Representative Artillis? Representative Campbell?
Yes.
Representative Cumby?
Yes.
Representative Cummings? Representative Fresen?
Yes.
Representative Fullwood? Representative O'Toole?
Yes.
Representative Rangel?
Yes.
Representative Rollerson?
Yes.
Representative Schlossberg? Representative Workman?
Yes.
Thank you, members. By your vote, please show House Bill 1399 reported favorably. And members, as we close out this meeting, I want to take a couple of points of personal privilege. Certainly thank Senator Ring and Representative Rooney for the work that they've done so far on that bill, and please continue to follow it as it moves. I do believe we're going to get a lot more work on it. And secondly, because this is the last meeting, I really want to thank staff. They have done just a tremendous job on the bills that we have seen this year, and I'll tell you, they have a lot of late nights and early mornings that they have put in to make this committee as successful as it's been this year. So thank you very much to staff, our attorneys, our folks that have put in so many hours. And with that, Representative and Vice Chair Ahern moves we rise. Without objection, we are adjourned. That's it.
That's it.